I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
Sadu.
Sa-indeed.
Good Thursday. How are you?
It is a good Thursday.
Sada.
Yeah. It's wonderful outside.
It's great. Yeah, I just checked. Actually, I called on my weather sources to double and triple check this.
You called the Zafro, did you? You got a direct bat line to the studio?
No, I didn't. I mean, it's no way I would just check the Weather Channel app and then and then say this. I called to confirm all my sources, my weather people, and they all say it's going to be nice here for about a week.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to sneak in some, well, you know what? In October, it's not that uncommon that we get decent weather.
Not at all.
Now, by the time Halloween rolls around, we kind of turn that corner. Then you're usually into the dark and the rain and the gloom and all that.
Yeah, but Halloween's usually the line of demarcation.
Yeah.
Like not Halloween, though.
No, no.
I heard somebody on the station say Halloween the other day.
The Halloween, if you will. People mispronounce that all the time.
Yeah. Why do people say Halloween?
I don't know.
Why do they say that? It's not right.
No, it's not.
That's how I say it. Halloween.
Not right.
It's Halloween?
Halloween, yeah.
Does anyone really care?
I mean, actually wrong, or is it just two different?
Tomato, tomato?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
According
to Rob, Grammar Rodeo Champion, he is saying that there is a correct and an incorrect way to say it.
Is Washington, Washington, tomato, tomato?
Well, Washington is different than tomato, tomato.
Okay, well then
Because you're adding letters into Washington.
Yes.
Halloween, yeah. Halloween is different than Washington, Washington?
Yeah, I feel like.
Golf,
I feel like.
Oh, no.
We've started down a bad road here. We have. It's going south in a hurry.
No, seriously, it's not Halloween.
Golf.
Stop
golf.
Calling that Halloween.
Stop calling that.
Yeah, stop calling that.
Stop calling it. Stop
Don't
calling
call
them.
It that.
Don't.
It's not Halloween.
No.
It's not hard to change it. It's like saying Oregon. It's not Oregon. It's Oregon.
But if it's not hard to change it, maybe that's why people are changing it. It just kind of rolls off the tongue.
It's not hard to change it back to the correct way.
But you're not sure it's the correct way.
No, I'm positive.
You're just saying in your opinion it's the correct way.
No, it's correct. What do you think?
Well, I'm with you on this, but I'm not so certain of it.
You think it could be said both ways?
Yeah, I've heard it say both ways, and it's never bothered me either way.
He's gay.
But, you know, hey, I'm open to it. Rob's a little old-fashioned. He likes things a certain way. I'm living in the now. I'm just saying, hey, let's just go with it. However you want to pronounce it. Do you got candy? Is there a fun-sized Twix bar involved?
Is there a lot of Reese's?
Because if there is, you know what? I'm okay with it. Is there a white chocolate Reese's? Because if you haven't had one of those, it's simply delightful.
Well, anything Reese's is great.
That's true. But the white chocolate Reese's, the whole white chocolate invading the candy game, it's the best thing to happen to candy in a number of years because you're getting the white chocolate Twix, the white chocolate Kit Kat, the white chocolate Reese's. It's a game changer for me.
Okay, well, that's another. Wait, who cares about white chocolate?
Like,
What's wrong with regular chocolate?
White chocolate? I'm racist against chocolate. Normally, I try to be pretty cool racially. Hey, whatever goes. But I like the white chocolate. The white chocolate greater than the milk chocolate.
Is it All Hallows Eve? It's not, is it? It's All Hallows Eve. Halloween. Like the name, Hal Sparks. It's Halloween.
Ooh, nice Hal Sparks reference.
So stop with the Halloweens. Change it.
Sleepy Halloween? Can you do that?
I'm going to say Halloween so many times just to annoy you.
Can you even say Halloween?
Yeah, Halloween.
Yeah, there you go. Please say it right.
No.
I mean, the people deserve it. You're an on-air broadcaster. You The people out there deserve better from you.
I think there are some people that are going to look at this and scoff.
They might scoff.
People will scoff at this. Yes, they're not going to be happy about it.
You chose better than this.
Yeah. No, it's not.
It is better than this.
No, it really isn't.
What?
You have a responsibility to your audience to be more responsible.
That's right, Mike. Wise words from one Seth Everett.
Yes, that hefty bag full of lunch meat.
We are the responsible ones here.
Seth Everett.
I'm okay with white chocolate, but I don't see, you know, I mean, it's not important to me.
Well, I'm not saying it has to be. I'm just saying for me.
You love it.
I'm not a huge chocolate guy. I prefer the fruity treats, if you will.
What is
your Skittles, your Starburst, yeah. things of that nature.
Yeah, see, I'll go chocolate every time.
Because I don't really, like, I'm not against chocolate, but chocolate needs nougat. It needs nuts. There has to be maybe a cookie crunch. There has to be something kind of thrown in there. I don't like chocolate on its own.
So, okay, help me with one
thing.
Did
you know that white chocolate's technically not chocolate?
Ooh. Get right the hell out of town.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
You're about ready to blow my mind.
Now, see, this is what the listeners deserve.
Yeah. The Halloween, that's fine. I've understood.
It's not fine.
I don't care about that
it's
debate.
It's not Goff-a-ween.
You can say it however you want. This white chocolate thing, though, what is white chocolate then?
White chocolate is made with a blend of sugar, cocoa butter, milk products, vanilla, and a fatty substance called lecithin.
What? Run that love like it.
Run that by me one more time. Is that like Ezekiel Elliott? Is that the?
It's probably more like lecithin, but I got caught up in the middle because I don't know what it is.
It's the Ezekiel Elliott.
Technically, white chocolate is not a chocolate, and it doesn't really taste like one because it doesn't contain chocolate solids.
Well, then what is
solids.
It?
Chocolate
I
solids.
Just told you. It's a blend of sugar, cocoa butter, milk products, vanilla, and a fatty substance called Leviathan.
It's a monster from the deep? Did you just drop Leviathan on me?
I did.
Wow. Apparently it's an ancient sea creature coming to kill us all. No, it has to be something. It's not just a collection of ingredients.
Wikipedia says white chocolate is a chocolate derivative.
Zook's not having this.
No, I'm not. Yeah. It's chocolate. I'm open to the idea that it's not chocolate if you tell me what it is, but you didn't tell me what it is. It's chocolate. It's right there in the name, white chocolate.
Look, I just relayed information I learned on the Food Network, one of my favorite channels, and then I went online to double check before I brought it to air, and bonappetit.com sounds pretty legit, says white chocolate's not actually chocolate.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of this. Well, either way, it's better. Well, I guess I do know what to make of it. It's not chocolate.
You think it's better than chocolate?
But it's better than chocolate.
That's crazy talk.
If you gave me the choice between chocolate anything and the non-chocolate white version of it, whatever the hell that is, the Leviathan version, I'll take that every time. Like, you go get a hot chocolate, throw a white hot chocolate on there, it's better. It's freaking fantastic.
You're racist. Okay, let me ask you this.
Against chocolate, apparently I am.
If you walk up to, like, for example, we have here in our building out front, we have a pumpkin.
Yes.
And it has candy in it.
That happens from time to time.
Now, if you walk up to the pumpkin and you look in it, you take off the top and you look in there and you're like, yeah. Ooh, candy. Isn't that a fun feeling?
Sure.
Ooh.
The candy dish is always a fun little adventure.
So when you look in there and you see nothing but candies, no chocolates, how does that make you feel? Versus
angry.
When you look in there and you see me too, because that just happened to me last night. As I was walking out, I was like, ooh, candy. I took off the top and all that was in there was Skittles.
Skittles.
And I have no problem with Skittles. I love Skittles. And I took a little thing of Skittles, but...
You know the best part? They were the alternate Skittles too. They were like the... I don't know, like tropical Skittles, which are even better than the regular Skittles.
I was really frustrated that there was no... It disappointed me greatly that there was no alternative chocolate substance.
Okay.
Well, in there.
I'm all about chocolate over candy. And yeah, I like you. I love Skittles. They're great.
Yeah.
But I would always choose
chocolate. Take the chocolate over the
always.
The candy.
Well, clearly I'm racist against normal chocolate. I will say this. I do not like separation. I do not like separate but equal, and I feel like every candy bucket should have a nice racial harmony swirl for everybody. So I'm with you. While I did open the pumpkin up front and was quite happy with the Skittles, I do feel like for an appropriate candy bucket, there does need to be some form of, milk chocolate.
What I'm asking you is your favorite candy bucket doesn't need chocolate. Like the best feeling you get about, ooh, candy is not chocolate, it's It's like the licorice
and Starburst and Skittles and things of that.
That's fascinating to me.
Yeah. If you let me choose.
Also quite wrong.
There's going to be a mixture. It's a party and everyone's invited.
No, I know, but I that wasn't what I was asking.
I had to choose between a candy bucket of chocolate and a candy bucket of non-chocolate, I will take the candy bucket of non-chocolate.
Yeah, so you don't get that pit in your stomach, that emptiness, that horrible feeling when, oh my God, there's no chocolate. Oh, okay, there's Skittles. That's good.
No, I've got Werther's Originals. I've got caramels. I've got a Sugar Daddy. I've got Starburst. I've got licorice. I've got the caramel apple pops. I got all that stuff. I don't need chocolate.
You starting with Werther's Originals? Are you 90 years old?
The answer to that is
some ribbon candy. Hey, a Werther's Original is fantastic.
Yes, we all love it when we go to Grandma's house and it's out in the dish.
And they now have the soft, chewy Werther's. I am dying. Which I don't understand how you can call those Werther's Originals because they're not original. They're soft and chewy. But they're fantastic. The caramel square may be the most underappreciated candy in the entire bucket.
You mean like those little...
Yeah, it's just the caramel
pure
square.
Pure caramel squares?
Yeah. You get yourself...
Those are good.
You get yourself a handful of those, you've got yourself a decent Halloween.
I like those.
Yeah.
Those kind of fall in the middle for me.
Just somewhere. Yeah, I get it.
Not chocolate, but not like...
How do you feel about a Sour Patch Kid?
What are those little... Yeah, see, I'm out on those.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
So you're missing out.
What are those little... Those stupid ones that... like the Smarties? Is that what they're
called?
Yeah,
those are Smarties.
Screw those.
Those are so stupid.
I know.
It tastes like chalk.
Smarties and the Necco wafer.
It looked like chalk.
Look, for you chocolate lovers, it's the Almond Joy of the non-chocolates. It's in there, but no one really eats it. Like at the end of every Halloween bucket.
Whoa, Almond Joy is great. Get out of here.
You fool. If we put out a bucket of candy, right, of just chocolate candy, and I filled it with Twix, Snickers, a Milky Way, all of the Nestle Crunch Bar, Mr. Good Bar, the 100 Grand, also criminally underrated. I put all that in there, and then I throw some Almond Joy. When that bucket is done, and we're left with the guts... We all know that. You're like, oh, God, look at this. You're picking through. I guarantee you that the candy bar that is left over is the Almond Joy.
Well, okay. If you're going to put it in that situation, then I will not disagree with you because those other candy bars are also great. But don't throw Almond Joy under the bus like it's some terrible candy. Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
I agree.
It's the Smarties of the chocolate
world. No, because Smarties are awful.
Okay, well, then what's the Smarties of the chocolate world? The Almond Joy. Exactly.
No.
The fact that you paused.
No.
Almond
it's
Joy.
It's the Hershey Special Dark.
You got to think about it. Ooh, Hershey's Special Dark?
That's the one that's always left.
I think the Almond Joy...
True. No one likes the dark chocolate.
The Almond Joy is just more of a... It's coconut, so therefore you're going to lose a lot of people with that.
It's way down
but
the list.
But people that love coconut love it. So that Almond Joy is not...
Well, some people love Smarties. It's a huge candy. My brother loves them.
But Smarties are generic.
Your brother also loves well-done steak.
Yeah.
It's true.
Your brother's an idiot.
Well, no one's questioning that.
But Almond Joy's... They're specific candy. I don't think it can be put into the same category as a generic candy like that because you have to like coconut to enjoy an Almond
Joy. Then maybe
Joy.
It is the Hershey's Special Dark because when you do get the Hershey's pack.
And that is generic.
Yeah.
It's just a plain.
It's just a plain dark chocolate
milk
bar.
Chocolate, Crackle, Mr. Good Bar, and Special Dark.
The Special Dark.
I'm not touching
right.
the Special
it's
the,
Dark. And the, or if you wanted to go down this road, the yellow Starburst. If you just took a handful of Starburst and threw them in there. That's what's left. In fact, I think the Smarties get eaten before the yellow Starburst.
I have no problem with yellow Starburst.
I know it happens from time to time, but no one's looking for them. When you open up a pack of Starburst, the little two-pack, and you get all pinks, holy hell. You're just like, you just won the lottery. You open it up, and you get a double yellow.
So much questions here. Why are Tootsie Rolls so prominent? That's stupid.
That's the Smarties of chocolate.
Yes.
Who
wants Tootsie Rolls?
Yeah. Right there. Boom. In your face.
I stand corrected. I take it back. Mm. I take back the Almond Joy because I wasn't thinking. I was thinking candy bars, but I said chocolate. So, yes.
It's the Tootsie Roll.
It's the Tootsie Roll. That's what's left. And even worse than the Tootsie Roll is the flavored Tootsie Roll. There's like the lime and the grape and the ones. Those are.
I've never seen that.
Why are they so prominent?
They are terrible.
You know,
they're cheap.
Like,
they're cheap.
What it is?
They're like 3 cents a piece.
Yeah.
And so old people get them. It's like candy corns. They're like, what's the cheapest candy there? And you get it and you throw it in the bag and you figure kids don't know. Kids know. You should too.
I feel like Big Tootsie Roll has just been a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Over the years.
It has. Well, there's some sort of, clearly this.
The lobby, the Tootsie Roll lobby.
Exactly. They've gotten to the people out there that it somehow keeps making its way in rotation.
You think it's a good idea to buy them for Halloween, but it's not.
It's not. Trust me, if you're thinking about buying Halloween candy, I can guarantee you that no one on your Halloween list party wants you to have Tootsie Rolls. Nobody.
One other question here that has popped up, and it's a good one. Perhaps we don't have time for it today. How do you pronounce caramel? Or do you say caramel?
Yeah.
You go caramel?
Well, no.
I say caramel.
See, I...
Caramel.
There's three ways to do it. There's the caramel, and caramel.
See, it depends. If I'm ordering something, then I will say caramel. But if I'm...
Caramel.
But if I'm talking about this, the specific candy, then I don't. I say it the other way.
Well, there's this test on the New York Times where they give you all of these words and the different variations of how you say them. Like, is it a lightning bug or a firefly? Is it a tractor trailer or an 18-wheeler? And you pick which one you say, and it pinpoints where you grew up almost to perfection. Like it, I did it, and it picked the town, two towns from where I grew up, like exactly. And it's really fascinating. You guys should do it in the break.
It sounds like, just from looking it up, it sounds like they're saying caramel has been widely accepted here in our country.
Like if I said I wanted I would do a caramel dipped cone, or you want to throw some caramel, you know, like some melted caramel. But if I'm talking about the little squares, then what I said, I want a little caramel square. Yeah. So it kind of depends on which context I'm using it. Either way, delicious in my belly.
Okay, there is some hot candy talk for you guys.
Yeah, I didn't know how that happened.
That's on a Thursday right there. Boom. Kind of hot candy talk.
Happened.
Well, we've got a lot to discuss today in sports, so our presentation will begin with Pac-12 officiating.
Nothing to see here. Nothing to see. Small error. Move along.
That's next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hold on, I only have three questions left. I'm taking the New York Times dialect quiz.
To find out where you're from?
Yes.
Is this like a... Now, is it different words like soda and pop, or is it just...
Yeah, things like... Well, it's like, for example, the question that I have in front of me here is, what do you call the large wild cat native to the Americas? Mountain lion, cougar, puma, mountain cat, panther, catamount, mountain screamer, painter, or other.
Yeah, so I didn't know if it was just the way you pronounced it or they were
it's
actually
both.
Different. Okay.
Because caramel just came up.
Yeah, caramel or caramel.
How do you pronounce? Yes. I'm almost done here, guys.
All right.
So you're going to have to proceed without me.
We can get right to the Pac-12.
Would you like to answer the last two questions with me?
Sure.
So then I can. What do you call a traffic situation in which several roads meet in a circle? Rotary, roundabout, circle. Traffic circle, traffic circus. I have no word for this, or other.
That's a roundabout.
That's what I think too. That's what I'm gonna click.
Yeah.
What do you call the smart road parallel? What do you call the small road parallel to the highway? Frontage road, service road, access road, feeder road, gateway. We have them, but I have no word for them. I've never heard of this concept. For me, it's always a service road.
Service road as well.
For me, it was, we have them, but I don't have a word for it.
Okay, so the pattern of my dialect, after filling out all 25 questions, they're showing me in the Santa Rosa, Modesto, Reno area.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the furthest away of anybody who's ever taken that quiz.
That's not even remotely where I'm from.
Well, look, you've been trying to shed the Kansas label for many, many a year. Something tells me you're trying just a little bit too hard, Mr. Reno. Oh,
no.
Look at me, highfalutin Reno guy, Santa Rosa.
Dude, have you ever been to Reno?
Must be nice. I'm being sarcastic, jackass.
Reno sucks.
Yes.
I'm disappointed.
I'm well aware of that. Apparently my sarcasm wasn't thick enough.
Almost everybody who has taken that quiz has been like, whoa, that's exactly where I'm from.
What do I look? I'll do this during the break.
Just look up New York Times dialect quiz.
Right. He already told you this.
I wasn't listening.
God.
I wasn't planning on taking the quiz.
But now you are?
Yeah, now I will.
Okay, well.
I want to see if I'm from the highfalutin Reno, because me and Rob were 2 for 2.
So the Pac-12 is in the news today.
Well, it's their basketball media day, so they would have been in the news either direction.
Now, do you think that has something to do with this?
I don't think so. I think it's just a story.
I think it does.
A story got broke, and You think they released it?
Yes.
Right around this so that Scott had to answer it?
Yes, I do.
I guess I hadn't thought about that.
I do think that.
But that is interesting that you may have sat on this for a little bit and then said, all right, well, the media days are coming, and so we'll force Larry Scott.
That way he can't duck it.
Yeah.
He's going to be asked about it today.
So that's a valid point because Scott, without the Pac-12 media day for basketball, he probably hides a little bit and then releases some BS statement.
Think about this. The Washington State USC game, where the report originated, was several weeks ago.
Yes.
So why now? I mean, all that happened was Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports got a hold of the report that was filed by the booth replay official in the USC Washington State game. Could have released that a long time ago. I mean, that was available the Monday after the game.
And by the way, this whole controversy that's been stirred up, it wasn't even the worst call in the game. I mean, the Pac-12, it looks so bad. It really is an embarrassment.
So here's what happened. During that game, Logan Tago of the Cougs hit JT Daniels of the Trojans.
Yeah, JT Daniels went down to take a knee, and it was clearly a late hit. And he takes a knee and he comes around, and it wasn't like a vicious hit or anything, but it certainly was late, and he lowered his helmet, led with it, and hit Daniels in the side of the head. I mean, it couldn't be a more clear call. The only debate you could say is that it wasn't vicious. He wasn't trying to lay him out.
They threw a flag on it.
Yes.
But they were trying to decide if it was targeting.
Yeah. So
in which case, Tago would have been kicked out of the game and then, of course, miss the first half of the next game?
Was it in the first or second half? I don't remember. No, it was. It was in the second half. It was the end of the third quarter. So he would have. He would have missed the first half of the next game. And so, yeah, they threw the flag and they called it late hit. And that held up. So it was a 15-yard penalty.
Yes.
Helped lead to a touchdown think, if I'm not mistaken, USC got up for the first time. They ended up going up in that. But they had to go to the booth to decide whether or not it was targeting.
Yes. And so then you've got two reviews. You've got one review from the booth official there at the stadium. And then you've got the review of the San Francisco Command Center, which is run by the Pac-12. And they have to get together and agree, I assume, right?
Yes.
And they agreed that it was targeting on the hit.
Both of them. Yeah.
But
Thursday.
What happened was, and this is from the report filed by the booth replay official that somehow got into the hands of Yahoo Sports, I'm assuming that the guy leaked it or somebody leaked it, saying, hey, look what's going on here. And Yahoo put it out today, and it is that the senior vice president of business affairs for the Pac-12, this guy's name is Woody Dixon.
He's an attorney.
He overruled it. He called the San Francisco Command Center and said, no, that's not targeting. And of course, that they said then changed the call, and they called down and said it's not targeting. And so they went about their business. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, there are a few. What the hell is this guy doing calling in his own opinions on he's not a formally trained official.
Nope.
What is that all about?
So there was a guy, I was reading an article today, and he was a rules analyst for NBC who spent 10 years as a coordinator of officials for the Big East and the ACC. And his quote on this is, it's unheard of. I was appalled when I heard.
Totally unheard of.
The autonomy of officials needs to be absolute. When there's pressure from an outside brought to bear, it threatens the integrity of the game. He calls it one of the worst things he's seen in the history of officiating.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, I think we all assumed that they're all trained people and trained officials that made the decisions. Has anybody ever even thought that some guy could just call up and tell the replay official, you know what? I'm the head of business affairs. F you. That's not targeting. Like, that's so mind-blowingly.
And by the way, technically he's their boss.
Yeah, no, exactly. Literally. So here, hold on. Let me finish here. So what the other problem is, you know, like, what is his motive? I mean, does he have money on the game? Like, what is that all about? Well, here's what the Pac-12 is saying. The Pac-12, they're saying that this guy is typically in the command center. Therefore, the way Yahoo presented it was that he's a third party. They're like, no, he's not a third party. He's always in there, and he is always overseeing the officials. They don't say, or at least I haven't seen, why he wasn't in there at this specific time. Maybe it is because he's usually in there on a Saturday, and this game was Friday. On a Friday night. So maybe he wasn't technically overseeing them at this time. But still, he is not a trained official. So the Pac-12 is caught red-handed here. And Larry Scott said that. He said, well, you know, looks, seems like we've made a mistake having basically administrative oversight and melding that with actual official replay decisions.
And he's claiming that Dixon here, the attorney, whatever his official...
Senior VP of Business Affairs.
He is saying that he has no authority to change a call. He has no... He is a voice, right, but in no way should he be able to overturn a call. And Larry Scott has said the problem with this is both the replay official in the booth and the command center back in the Pac-12 both thought that he was overruling the call. Are you effing kidding me?
And so then Scott said that he wasn't, that wasn't his intent. All he was doing was calling to voice his opinion.
So you're telling me, Larry, that your replay official and the replay booth back at Pac-12 headquarters aren't aware of whether or not this guy can overturn a call? This is the biggest sham I've ever seen. This calls into the integrity of everything that the Pac-12 stands for. So my question is,
or says it stands for.
So if this guy can do it, what other calls have been made on this? What other people have chimed in? There's so many questions that pop up. Is he the only one that has input on this? And how is there not a clear chain of command that the officials have autonomy to make calls? This looks so, so bad for the Pac-12.
Well, Larry Scott doesn't know what he's doing.
No.
And
he should be fired.
We have suspected that for a long time now. And this is just, this may be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
It
really may be. Because it does seem like that guy goes along without much accountability at all. I mean, he screws up, he apologizes, he makes changes, and he just keeps on trucking. And that's what happened here. So I do think that this was released in conjunction with Larry Scott having to sit behind a mic at Pac-12 Media Day. That way he can't duck and do his own internal investigation and hide for a couple weeks and then come out with some stupid-ass statement. He had to answer questions about this today, and he did, and he said that there will be no punishments for anyone involved, but he will no longer allow conference leadership to be involved in replay decision-making.
He said the strongest statement that can be made here is not punishing anyone and just having clarification of their procedures,
and
basically.
The reason he said that was because he doesn't think there was malice or ill intent from anyone. He thinks everybody was just trying to do their job, but no one... Really, the problem lies with him in mixing administrative oversight with real-time replay calls.
Yes, the Pac-12 General Counsel and Senior Vice President of Business Affairs just doing his job, butting in on penalties.
And then, by the way, a quarter later, you had quite possibly the worst non-call I've seen in the Pac-12 and maybe college football all year that did determine the football game. And then the Pac-12 Larry Scott came out afterwards and said, no, you know, there's no targeting there. We looked at it and we all agree it's no targeting. The Pac-12 has a crisis when it comes to confidence
leadership.
And leadership.
Yeah, the people, nobody trusts them.
It's just, it's an embarrassment.
Okay, so text the Better You Today text line 55305, and let's do talk about what maybe this guy's motive was, if it is simply just what they're saying and that,
just chiming in.
This is what I do. I oversee this, and so here's what I think about it. Or was there more there? We'll get into that coming up next. Here is Mike with sports.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Feeling really good because I'm from Reno now in Modesto.
Rob's throwing up some sort of awkward hand.
Those are my signs.
You're Guy Fieri now.
I hate that douche.
Well, everyone does.
Does anyone like that guy?
Well, someone does, obviously, because he's on the... I mean, he's like a star on the Food Network.
I like his shows, but I don't particularly like him. Yeah.
I've heard from, real strong, foodie people that he's a joke in the food world.
I think there's an element to that, yeah.
His restaurants are awful.
Is it donkey sauce that he tried to create and then it turned out it was...
What?
Yeah, here's the thing. It's called
donkey sauce?
Donkey sauce.
Yeah. Why is he that makes no sense.
He won Food Network Star, the first ever one, which gave him a TV show. And now people like it because they get to find out about cool restaurants in their area when he goes to their places. But he is not great.
Okay, well, anyway, that's where I'm from now. So I'm very hood, very street, less Midwest.
I'm working on where I'm from currently.
Okay, let us know where you're from when you're done taking the New York Times dialect quiz, okay?
I had to wait 8 years for my computer to reboot.
By the way, one thing that did pop up on that thing that I had never heard of, but you guys were just debating, and that is there is a name for the night before Halloween.
Yeah, Devil's Night.
Mischief Night.
Yeah, see, I've never even heard of a name for the night before Halloween.
So Devil's Night is when you're supposed to, like, light fires to everything. You're supposed to burn it all down. And I've never heard, like, Mike called it Mischief Night. I have never in my life heard of that. And you had something else, too, right? It was...
Well, there's another one called Cabbage Night. Yeah.
What's that?
I got
It's the same night. It's just when you go, like, throw eggs at houses and you TP houses the night before Halloween.
Okay. Never heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Devil's Night.
Okay, so Pac-12 officiating. What happened was Yahoo Sports exposed that one of the administrative guys, their business affairs guy, overruled a replay call in the Wazoo USC game.
Yeah. But apparently he didn't mean to, just the officials didn't know that he wasn't overturning the call.
But that, okay, like somebody texted in, they said, so the Better You Today text line is 55305. And they said, that person that interfered with the call in the replay booth should be fired.
Yes.
That's called tampering, and people are hired and put in place to make those calls. It's no different than the armchair quarterback sitting at home disagreeing with the call. But, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that person can't be fired because that was the position that he was put in. Like, the Pac-12 put him in there. They are saying that is their mistake. Their mistake is that guy is normally in the booth in San Francisco, and he is overseeing the replay officials.
Yes, but he's not supposed to have the autonomy to make the decision. It'd be like if we're getting ready to do a radio segment, and our big boss, who, you know, doesn't have anything to do with the day-to-day running of our program, but he is the boss.
His name's Bill.
Bill. If Bill was sitting in here and Bill was like, you know what, guys? Don't think you should do that segment. What kind of pressure does that put us under? Bill doesn't make that decision.
Like, right.
But the fact that you have a guy in there that is technically their boss and he's having input, how ass backwards can the Pac-12 be?
But that's on the Pac-12. What I'm saying is this guy is not going to be, not only is he not going to be fired, he's not going to be punished,
this
Dixon guy, because according to the Pac-12 and Larry Scott, he was just doing what he always does, and they allowed that. And I think that's your point, is that that's ridiculous that they allow that, but that's the way it was set up, which is so stupid.
When you have the reputation of having the worst officials in America, and you have something like this happen, I don't know how you can't have a crisis of confidence. At what point does someone at the Pac-12 realize that something needs to change and someone needs to get fired?
Well,
because
like I said, the
Pac-12, how many scandals and times do you have to be the laughing stock of the NCAA, which is saying something, before actual change comes down?
It's a joke. Like I said earlier, I mean, Larry Scott really seems to have zero accountability.
No.
I mean, I don't understand. You know, he just continually screws up and looks bad and then apologizes and makes changes and then keeps on going. I don't understand why that is. I don't know who is in charge of Larry Scott. I assume the
presidents,
but they don't seem to care. So there doesn't seem to be any oversight. That's part of the problem. But what does this mean in terms of you know, like more sinister things? Like, a couple of people have brought up the idea that this guy Dixon had money on the game. But if that were the case... See, the problem with that is the first call, the one that is in this report here by Yahoo,
went against
USC.
Yes.
And favored Washington State. He overruled in favor of Washington State. But the last call, the no call,
went against Washington State.
Washington State and favored USC. So if he truly had a sinister motive here about favoring one team or another, he would have interacted in favor of USC or Washington State on both calls, but he didn't.
It's still ridiculous because it makes you anytime you have questions about the integrity of official, there's nothing worse for your sport. There just isn't. Sports is supposed to be on the level. And I asked the question, if he's allowed to overturn these and the officials and the replay booth back in headquarters both defer to him, who else can they defer to? Who else is in there? You know, if it's that blurry, how many times has this happened before? How many times has an untrained guy overruled officials to make these sorts of calls in Pac-12 games? And we may never know. And you just, you can't have that, especially when your conference has had multiple shady calls over the years. It's just, it's ridiculous that this is happening, that this has come out, and that nothing will change. No heads will roll. No one will be punished. And this donkey is still going to be allowed. I guarantee you to still have sway over it. You can say that he won't, but it doesn't change the fact that he's still the boss and he was put in this position to begin with.
Couple of other texts, prop bet on overturned targeting calls, perhaps. interesting.
So I don't think that this one had a nefarious angle to it, but that doesn't mean that this doesn't leave yourself wide open for it.
Well, another element of this, so much for protecting players.
Yeah.
Right? You have two obvious targeting calls.
Neither one of them called.
That were not called based on some guy in business affairs opinion who's not even a trained official.
Well, and even after the...
That's really looking out for the kids.
Well, and then the same... So the one we're talking about is the one at the end of the game that went against Washington State that should have been called. That was as blatant a targeting call as you could have. Larry Scott even came out the next day. Remember, he had to release two statements. At first, he said that they looked at it and they all agreed that it wasn't targeting. And they had to go back and change his stance on it and be like, well, I misspoke. It wasn't reviewed. That's what we were saying, is that the call on the field, we didn't actually review it and everyone agree. He can't keep his foot out of his own mouth when it comes to officials. And then you have something like this occur and it makes you wonder who's running things up there. How incompetent can you be running the Pac-12? And apparently the answer to that is you can be very incompetent running the Pac-12 at all different levels.
Well, and I think another question that you brought up too is, you know, how many people are they letting have access?
Yeah.
You know, nobody ever asked that question of who all has access, because we just assumed it would just be all the trained officials and that's it. But now it's like, who else could Larry Scott just call up?
That's what I want to know. And if how many bosses do the officials have? And if the officials believe that this guy, who isn't even necessarily directly their boss, he's just kind of one of the overseers, if he has that sort of sway where he can call in, even when he's not in the booth, and get a call overturned, you're right. What happens if Larry Scott calls? What happened if another VP of something calls? How many cooks are in the kitchen? Officials, and that's what the head official that in the story I read today, the guy that was in charge of the Big East and the ACC officials, he said officials have to know that their autonomy is 100% and absolute. And the moment you don't have that, you've got a crisis on your hands, because it allows for shady things to go on, or at least the perception of it. And you can't have that. Not in officials.
All right. Scott Frost is pointing the finger at Oregon State, and we'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
Sports is sports.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Sports is indeed sports, and
sports is business.
I have a sports note for you, and it's maybe going to disappoint you, but the Scott Frost versus Oregon State topic.
Yeah.
We don't have time for it here.
Oh.
We're going to have to move that to 5:15.
Well, it's about to go away here in, what, 3-4 days anyways.
Yeah, it is. It's, yeah, well, okay, we'll get to that whole thing coming up. We've got to unpack that. And so we've just been hit with multiple controversies here in the Pac-12 today. And one involves your Beavers. So
involves your Beaver?
Your Beavers.
Yeah.
You love them.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're amazing.
You do.
What? Mm-hmm. Hello? And so that will be later. We're just going to have to wait.
All right. What do you got now?
Don't have time. I don't know.
You got to have something.
I was reading about that missing hiker.
Yeah. Is this Arizona?
Well, it's on Mount Hood.
No. But the person's from Arizona?
Yes. And he is dead.
Oh.
Yeah. They found him. I'll report everything on In the News. I was just tidying up my notes for you.
See, I didn't see that today. Is that fairly recent? Because this morning
they found him this morning.
I was going to say on Oregon Live this morning when I looked, I did not see that they had found him. Was it 4 or 5 days he went missing?
Monday, to today. Whatever that is, three, 4 days. I did not find any today in Blazers overhype stories.
Really?
No, but I didn't look too hard.
Oh, there's one.
Is there?
Me and Mike, that was the first thing we talked about when I sat down today.
And the first thing I did when I opened up Oregon Live was go, there it is.
Yep.
What is it?
Oh, maybe you didn't see the game last night.
I saw the game, but...
Did you not see the command performance of the newly engaged and newly minted rotational player?
Are you ready for the headline?
Yes.
From Joe Freeman.
Bring it.
Engaged, evolved, matured.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Layman makes case for spot in Portland Trailblazers rotation.
Jake Layman, huh?
Boom!
Now that's overhype?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, because he's going to be a rotation player because of one good game in the preseason against Phoenix.
Against the Suns.
That's a decent point.
I was now, flipping around last night, and I saw they were interviewing him after the game. He was the player of the game, and you would have thought that he just won one of those publisher clearinghouse, like $10 million checks. They were fawning over some Jake Layman and talking about where he's going to go celebrate. And like, celebrate? You scored 28 in a damn preseason game that no one played in. I'm sorry, my man, but if you didn't see that overhype, you missed a big one.
Yeah, so I clearly didn't look hard enough for my Blazers overhype today.
No, because if I know two things about the Blazers right now, it's one, Zach Collins is a beast and he's been lifting and his arms are amazing. And that Jake Layman, he's going to be a star. Well,
and it's the year of Myers Leonard.
A rotational star. Yes, Myers Leonard.
So Layman
is on to something.
Layman's going to have to play because Harkless can't get healthy, right?
Yes.
That's what we're...
Well... He's earned it. Did you not see the 28 against Phoenix?
I saw the game. I was picking up a pizza last night.
Yeah.
And I saw a little bit of the game.
Were you picking up a Little Caesars pizza?
No.
Because it might have been a DiGiorno pizza. Did you see that?
No. What?
You've got to see
So Little Caesars got busted. So Little Caesars, I guess, ran out of ingredients.
No
I don't remember
way.
Where this was from.
No, I didn't see it.
Some Little Caesars around the country, They ran out of ingredients. They couldn't make any more pizzas, and they got caught going out and buying DiGiorno pizza and throwing it into their pizza oven and then passing that off as Little Caesars.
Kidding me?
Nope.
It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno, but it's delivery because it's Little Caesars.
It's Little Caesars.
Fascinating.
They got busted with DiGiorno Little Caesars pizza.
I did think of you though because they showed Brian Wheeler.
Stop. Hey, he's better now.
Yeah, he no longer has a giant scrot.
Oh, really?
Can we just say that he's better? Can you leave the man with some dignity and just say he's better?
Well, that was
it's
his condition.
It's not about the man, it's about you, sir.
Right.
Can't you just say...
So they showed him in a hospital bed, though. The sound wasn't on where I was, so I don't know what that meant.
Well, but... I don't think he's back to games, but I think it's been dealt with.
So you think... Oh, it's unswollen?
Deflated.
Why can't we just use my way of saying that it's been dealt with and then let's move on and wish him all the best and that he's healthy and, you know.
You're being vague.
Somewhat. Yes.
You owe it to your listeners.
And they all should have been vague.
Yeah,
everyone.
They should have.
This should have never been reported.
They weren't.
Ever.
Brian Wheeler's soon to be normal size script.
Should have never. How did that get out?
Well, they put it out. It was right in my inbox.
I know. It's ridiculous.
So do you think.
You couldn't come up with just a generic. Hey, you know what? He's not feeling very well. He's dealing with something.
He has a groin injury.
Knowing the intensity of one Travis Demers who gets to fill in for Brian Wheeler while he's gone.
Yes.
Do you think Demers will poison Wheeler now that he's healthy in order to keep his radio gig?
You know what? I'm not going to say no to that.
Should Wheeler have bodyguards?
But I'm also not going to say yes, but I'm interested in your newsletter.
Somebody needs to keep an eye on Travis Demers, okay? That's all I'm saying.
When you get a hold of that kind of power, you know, not necessarily real eager to give that one up.
All right. Coming up next, though, we got to move on to our NFL Challenge brought to you by Encore Audio Video. Wait till you hear my lock of the week this week.
Did yours win last week?
Nope.
No, neither did mine. I had the Rams +7.
Yeah, but my record, I have won one. So.
I won mine last week.
Yeah, you did, but...
Who would have thought the freaking Seahawks were going to keep pace and score with the Rams?
Yeah, not me.
Well, no, wasn't me either.
Yeah, no, not me. I thought the Rams would win that handle.
I lost that one
that
in real life,
game.
Too.
All right, well, anyway, our NFL challenge, our locks, and then we'll go through the schedule this week in the NFL coming up next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.